It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right. We're your morning show hosts.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
I'm doing good.
You're looking good.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you.
Sounding great in my ears.
Oh, yeah? Is it loud enough in the can?
I got your junk in my trunk.
You like me in your can?
Sure. So, how you been lately? You been good? Everything been good?
Yeah, I've been good.
You been busy?
I've been busy, yeah.
Would you say this is a little lull in your...
No. It's been a lull preparing for the show this afternoon.
It has been somewhat lullish.
That was a little bit of a dip.
Yes. Well, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a little bit of relaxation for me.
Your mind, your body, and your soul need that.
Yeah. It's as busy as usual. Do you know when the Sportsman Blues thing happens? Because my bass player is calling Kim
Commando?
Kelly? No, Kim Commando. What does that mean? Like, she doesn't wear... anyway. the sax guy. Kim,
yes.
Kim Kelly or Kim Kenny?
No, it's Kelly.
Yeah, Kim Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the guy, yeah.
He knows him, played with him a long time ago, really liked him as a bass player, and said call him anytime, to jam or whatever. So
sure.
He's supposed to find out from him when this thing is, but I guess it's like Labor Day weekend or something.
And it's like a blues thing at the Riverside Sportsman's Club, right?
Yeah. They have like a, I don't know what they call it.
Bar mitzvah?
Blues extravaganza.
Oh, no, okay.
I don't think it's a bar mitzvah.
I don't know.
That I could play.
You can play a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
As Snips the Clown or as Jeffrey
Both.
Davids?
I would dress up as Snips and play in the band.
Double dip. Moonlight on yourself.
Snips the double dip. Snips double dips. Okay, well. There's no more Snips the Clown website, by the way. It's gone. I left it up there for a while as for legacy-istic purposes.
Sure. But
it's gone anyway.
You didn't lose the domain name, did you?
Professional clown. I did, yeah.
Really?
I think so. I don't remember. No, maybe I didn't get rid of the domain name, but I took the... I don't know. I don't remember. But I'm not doing it anymore, so what does it matter now?
You just totally disassociate yourself with Snips the Clown.
Well... Pretty much, I guess. I mean, nobody could ever be Snips. Nobody else could ever be Snips the Clown.
Huh. That's like saying no one else.
I was registered.
You'd see it 25 years ago, you'd say, no one could ever replace Ace Frehley.
Well, they won't be Ace Frehley. They could be somebody else, like they got a guy now. He dresses up like him, but he's not Ace Frehley. But I was registered. I wasn't
for
allowed
the
around
sex
kids.
Offenders.
No, list. No, but registered clown, registered face, and everything like with the National Clown Registry.
Of course, you got to belong to that.
So nobody else can actually take that away. Anyway, nobody's allowed to steal my face.
Steal your face.
What else is going on?
That's
anything?
The name of something.
Steal your face.
Steal your face.
Is that how it goes?
I'm Whatever making it up. This is cool. A songwriting show that
we're
doing.
That's right. Maybe it's a new song for us, Steal Your Face. I like it.
I love it. It's like Jay Giles' Blow Your Face Out.
We have to do a whole CD.
Steal Your Face.
We can call it Steal Your Face. Yeah. The CD.
You thought you were a clown.
Big JD and Lippo, Steal Your Face.
In the morning.
Steal Your Morning Face. What do you call that? 5 o'clock shadow at...
I don't know. You're more than welcome to take that face, because that's the least flattering face that I wear, is the morning face.
The morning face. All right.
All right, he says. Sort of.
Been there, seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you see other people's too. Well, when you wake up in the morning.
We were alone. What do you mean? When I wake up in the morning.
Not only do you get to see yours. The
There's another song right there. I don't wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I love it.
It's got something about it.
Sure. You can take off from there, no problem.
Yeah. We could write a song about it, but this is the last part three of our songwriting extravaganza. Oh, and we want to tell people as well during the show about the songwriting contest. We shouldn't even tell anybody.
Why not?
I'm just kidding. So they can't beat us.
Oh, compete against us.
I think we're going to enter, aren't we?
We're going to enter.
I think we should. I think our song's
good enough.
Yeah, I think the song came out excellent, actually. And we're going to enter it in the 19th Annual USA Songwriting Competition. It's the world's leading international songwriting event. And they've been honoring songwriters, composers, bands, and recording artists everywhere since 1995. Winners are selected by a Blue Ribbon committee of music industry judges. Blue Ribbon, you know it's a big deal.
How come we couldn't get the Gold Ribbon?
I don't know. Blue Ribbon, isn't that a beer? Including record label publishers, producers from Universal Music, Warner, EMI, Sony BMG Music, and other distinguished professionals.
So is that what we win? We win
prizes,
like a case of
over $50,000 in cash.
Oh, I thought it was going to be $50,000 worth of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
No. And merchandise from Sony, Ibanez guitars, D'Addario strings, which you use.
Yes, I do.
IK Multimedia, which I use, Audio Technica, and more.
And more.
Yeah. And more. So it's pretty cool, actually. And I found, came across this information on Sonic Bids, which is a pretty cool place for artists. It's $35 to apply to the 19th Annual USA Songwriting Competition. Lippo in the news.
Yes, we are in the news. I dig that music so much that when listening to the show, and I listen to the show.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who probably produce stuff and they don't even listen to themselves.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like to listen to themselves.
Right.
And music-wise, too. Do you like listening to your music when you, I mean, the music that you have recorded of King Friday or, you know what I mean? Your
some stuff.
Do you listen to it?
Yeah, some stuff. More so the acoustic stuff that we've done.
Mostly the Gitonica stuff.
No, Gitonica, that was a...
Well, that was a long time ago, too.
Well, that's when we used to smoke a lot of weed before the show, right?
Yeah. That was early harp days for you, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, learning stuff. It was fun.
For me, it was just, you know, my usual mess. But go on.
Go on. In the news, again, with Greg Allman. He's in the news a lot. They, in 2012, he came out with a memoir called My Cross to Bear. And it was like a biography, I guess. So
bibliography?
Yes. And there was a production company, Unclaimed Freight Productions, was they were making a picture.
Of I like the name. Yeah.
Motion picture. Based on the book.
Based on his book, yeah. About his life.
About his life. Yep. But I don't think they got the right permissions, or they asked permissions and they were denied, but they went ahead
and made it anyway.
And they started shooting the film.
Ooh.
But the legal action that Greg's people just set into place was they put in, I don't know what you put in, basically saying cease and desist what you're doing. You're not allowed to take this intellectual property and use it for your film. So, and that follows a tragedy in February where a freight train struck a crew member of the film. On the Southeast Georgia track. They were filming on a railroad track. And it killed a 28-year-old camera assistant, Sarah Jones, and six others were injured in the accident. That's pretty crazy stuff.
Sarah Jones, is she the one that they... There's been a lot of talk going on about her and her career as a...
Camera person?
Yeah, something or other.
Oh, maybe.
I wonder if it was her. I can't remember who it was that died... I guess died while they were making a film or something, but I wonder if it was that.
And the company that owns the track said they didn't get the right permission to even be there.
Wow, so I wonder what all happens. And I wonder if this company, which is
Unclaimed
not
freight.
Getting permission for anything, had insurance, actually, proper insurance for doing what they were doing.
Well, you know, there was somebody like famous in that movie who was going to be him. It was
William. Bob Newhart?
That's it, Bob Newhart, yeah.
He's not even around anymore, is he?
Well, maybe he died.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay, let's give it 1 minute of silence for Bob. No, but...
William Hurt is the actor.
William Hurt, okay.
Hurt.
Yeah, William Hurt. Oh, right, William Hurt. I can't recall place who the guy is. I know he's a big actor, though.
Yeah.
Can you place who he is?
Yes, I can picture his face
for
sure.
What was he in? I can't remember. him?
That's a good William question. Hurt. I'm horrible.
Oh, he was in Hurt Locker.
I was going to say that. That was a great joke. No,
too bad I could we don't fire have a cart machine for a.
They should have like a digital one where you can actually just touch a screen.
There's all kinds of ways to do it, man. That we can have stuff. You can even get a small MIDI controller that just has some buttons on it.
But they have a MIDI controller that's built in your iPad.
Yeah,
it's an app. It's all you do is just touch virtual but even buttons.
That, like it's we got to have something rigged into the system.
It's gonna be rigged.
Yeah,
I know.
A small piece of news for me, which is something cool. I was skimming through some online music news, and they were talking about what some of the songs that have been well used or overused for advertising purposes, and one of the top ones, I guess, being "Born to Be Wild."
Yeah, the song "Born to Be Wild." Been on
but I thought that would something around that would make a cool show probably for us. Songs that have been used for whatever or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I know Ford used "The Doors Light My Fire," and that was a big bone of contention amongst the boys in the band. And it was a big deal. I remember when Led Zeppelin finally licensed one of their tunes to Cadillac.
Uh huh.
I don't know if you remember that or not. Speaking of Led Zeppelin,
yeah, they played rock and roll all the time. Cadillac.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
In less than a month, Led Zeppelin are reissuing their first three albums as a deluxe remastered set. We talked about this, though, already on the show.
I don't think we did we?
Oh, okay, maybe we did.
I don't remember that. Then again, I don't remember anything.
They're remixing the first... Remastering the first three albums.
Okay. Didn't they release that stuff remastered already? Or some type of a collection at one point that contained that stuff? I thought they already...
It was remastered for iTunes.
Oh, okay.
So now this is DVD sets. And
DVD sets of the albums? Is that what you're saying?
In deluxe versions, there'll be some...
Video footage.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So there's different versions, you know.
We have some cool DVDs of...
Zeppelin?
What's the one that you'd got in the Celebration Day, which is really cool?
It's the best one.
Yeah, that's cool. But I like the old one. Song Remains the Same. Yeah, man. I went to the show to see that.
So did I.
And I also have How the West Was Won, which is a big box set of everything. A
lot of video in there, too. A lot of old stuff.
Yeah, tons of stuff in there.
So it'll be similar to that, I'm thinking this will be.
That's neat.
But there's going to be other
tunes. But isn't that stuff, like stuff that's already been out? No, the DVD stuff wouldn't be remastered. It must be some new stuff. You know what's cool is the Kiss DVD sets. Kissology, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
You got any
old Kiss is great, man. Yeah, I have that stuff somewhere. I don't know where it is. It's actually on DVD.
Okay.
I can dig it out if you want to see it.
That's got to be redone for HD.
The Kiss stuff?
Yeah.
It is going to be?
No, it should be.
Oh, I don't know if it was HD stuff or not.
The stuff that you have is probably just DVD quality.
Stuff, I'm not sure. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to the... Jimmy, I just wanted to pull a quote that Jimmy said... The reason he wanted to work on the remasters was to offer a new sonic and visual thrills to the group's fans. The catalog was remastered 20 years ago. He goes, that's a long time. Everything is being transferred from analog to a higher resolution digital format. So they're going back to the analog and remastering it to something better than what was in
between. Right, they're not remastering what they remastered.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't think they'd do that. But that's pretty cool.
I think so. Going back
it'd be neat to if there was a way that they could actually I wonder if they could somehow do that, go back to the original masters and the original tracks and make it sound like today's recordings, you know what I mean, how drums sound today.
Yeah
snares are like
wet
instead of like the old just sounded like a live drum kit kind of, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
wow, that'd be pretty neat.
Wonder sure would.
So yeah, there's news on the morning show, and this week's show is part 3 of 3 of the songwriting workshop from Big JD and Lippo, where we, in the first part one, we wrote a song called Peek Away.
Wrote the lyrics.
And in part two, we composed the music.
Right.
Okay.
It was a pretty interesting process, so you can actually hear us going through different changes. And
yeah, so if you haven't heard the other two shows, the previous two shows, then you want to check those out. And you can get those at iTunes by searching Big JD, searching Lippo, searching Big JD and Lippo.
Get it the same place you got this one that you're listening to right now.
Yeah. There you go. Which is probably from our Facebook page. You're listening online.
I hope not. I hope a lot of people subscribe.
They should subscribe.
Listen.
That way you don't miss a show. If you have an Apple mobile device or your computer or whatnot, you'll get the new shows as we drop the shows, which is Sunday mornings, basically, is when the new shows are available.
We don't need an Apple device for that.
Well, no, but... Oh, sorry. I didn't finish. To sync to your device.
Well, this...
Doesn't, you can do it to anything, right? Like
Android has Android a podcast. Android and all
that. Yeah. Whatever. iPhones. Whatever. iPhones and iPads are the thing.
A lot more people own Androids, though.
I know.
And a lot of people...
Samsung phones. A lot of people, big new phones.
Yeah. A lot of people who listen to podcasts have Android phones.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Well, you don't want to... You're sounding
I'm not. I don't mean to do that. No. If it was Windows, that's a different story.
Okay, so we're going to play a bunch of tunes on
Will
this.
A Zune pick up our...
No.
Yeah, Zune. So that's what we're doing today, too. We're playing a bunch of our stuff.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, why don't we play a tune right now?
Oh, okay.
So, and let people know that the theme of today's music is going to be stuff that we've recorded previously.
Right. And some of the Lippo stuff with his band, some of my stuff with bands, and some a couple things together, which is the brand new song Peek Away. We're going to premiere probably towards the end of the show so that we keep your attention. And we're going to start things off with something Lippo and I wrote for one of our shows. Was it for a morning show? Architechnology.
Yes, it was.
I don't remember how that came about.
Me neither. I don't remember the details, but we...
Had something to do with technology.
We worked on a song together.
Right. And this is it. Architechnology by Big JD and Lippo.
The speed of light
We're back, part three of three of the songwriting workshop here on The Morning Show.
Yeah.
And so we're going to spend some time on the show talking about songwriting. And I don't know how much we got into actual composing the music in our last show, which is what we did. I think we spent more time actually composing the music.
Yeah.
And then recorded it, but we can talk a little bit about that today and also the recording process. But as far as composing music, maybe some advice for young people who want to write their own music. There's a lot of people playing cover songs and everything and would like to probably write their own music and maybe record something.
You're the guy to give the advice.
Oh, I am?
And I'll be listening just as much as those kiddies are.
So where would somebody start if they wanted to write their own song?
I think they would go and get themselves a free songwriting handbook.
Oh, no. You're not going to make me look for that now.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you search online and you can find those things. Though there are free songwriting handbooks that will help you out. Obviously, the actual lyric writing is pretty easy. You could probably write something about something that you know, something you're familiar with.
Sure.
Something that's, you know, a life event or something like that, or somebody, you know, that you want to write a song for or about. That's probably an easy part of it.
And I think a lot of people will take on the lyrical technique or style of somebody they've listened to a lot, I think. Just like, you know, as opposed to making
an influence.
Yeah, Moon in June. No, that's poetry or whatever. I would like to be a lyricist like Ronnie James Dio or something.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, so he can put together words that sound good together. Some songs are written specifically for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make any sense. And they write the songs with just specific words. If you listen to a lot of, I'm trying to think of the foreign band Volbeat. I don't know if you're familiar with Volbeat. Or that's a guy he's Dutch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say 50% of his words are
not recognizable. Like there's a word for that, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a word.
Oh, so you didn't hear Mumbles in the last show then either?
Bumbles?
Mumbles, the song.
Oh, Mumbles. Right, Mumbles.
Okay, right, yeah. Okay. But go on, yeah. I can't remember the word for that. We should actually know that word. That's like the you find that in a lot of jazz improv where they do that.
Yeah, sibida.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, I think it might be.
No, it's not sibida.
Okay, you said it might be
scat singing.
Scat.
That's what you're thinking. I'm not sure.
I thought scat.
You're on a
scat was something altogether different.
No. Scat saying for sure, but you took that somewhere else. I said sibida just so people know what the history of sibida is.
Okay,
it's kind of near and dear to my heart because it's something we've used since I've been starting jamming. When Dan and my brother and myself would be jamming, and my brother would just fit in lyrics of the melody, like mm-hmm. you know, with mm-hmm. sibida.
Yeah,
so that would be all. That's what we'd fit. Whenever we don't know the lyrics, it's sibida.
Okay. I thought that was a real term. Sure sounds familiar.
Awesome. Maybe, no, my brother would not know that.
I don't know. I use that all the time when I'm playing live.
Sibida.
Okay. So, yeah, there you have a little lesson in sibida.
Sibida. There's a rat hole if you want one.
But, yeah, so we can move on from the lyric thing. So, composing music actually is can get a little bit more difficult depending on how versed you are in actual music or theory or anything mm-hmm. like that, because sure. you do need to know something in order to compose a song. You need to know what chords will fit together in any kind of a triad or some scales so that you can even use bar chords but mm-hmm. know where to go and you know what I mean?
Yes, for sure.
So that's an important thing. So if you're playing and you're doing cover songs and whatnot and just never wrote anything on your own, I would imagine you have some understanding of music and where to go and how to go. But if you don't, again, you can look online. There's lots of books and things like that that will give you different scales and boxes to play in, like blues boxes or pentatonic.
Sure.
Major, minor
yep.
boxes to play in and stuff like that.
Yep.
And what's neat about those boxes is that they give you these, this single note scales, but you can incorporate that into your chords because if you're, hitting an A and then a step and a half step, then you can use those three bar chords, right? And kind of sure. start building your song from there. And as long as you can, go in a little circle somehow, then you come back around to doing the verse again and whatnot. And change it up for your chorus, and it's really can be pretty easy.
What was the fastest you've ever written a song?
Oh, 20 songs in a night.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Well, those 20 songs were blues songs, and I wrote 20 songs in one night and recorded them the next night, all 20 of them. So
that's
sort of demo version, right?
Yeah.
With everything and drums and everything. But
was there some kind of fire under your feet to do that?
I don't know why I did that. That was the early beginnings, I think, of Jeffrey David's Blues Connection.
Okay.
I started that like back in the early 90s. But anyway, this is not one of those songs. This is Wicked Angel from the Remastered Collection Volume 1, which came out in 2009, I'm going to say. It's called New World Rising. And it was a brand new song actually recorded for that CD, Wicked Angel.
Waves and bringing change and breaking out of this mold.
I remember when you came into my driveway and you were cranking that tune and you said, Lipple, come on in. I want you to listen to this song. This is the new tune I'm going to put on the...
Cool, I don't remember that.
Yeah. Because you were kind of pumped that they were... CDN Records was re-releasing...
A bunch of old stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I can understand you being pumped and they got the opportunity to add a new song.
Yeah.
Which sounds really cool. Nothing like the old stuff.
No, not really. It was written in the old school power metal vein, but...
And yeah, it was produced that way as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, the music was produced differently.
Yeah, even a lot of stuff on there was done on cassettes, actually. Some was done on reels, some was digital, was anything actually digital? No, it all would have started analog anyway, because even the studio stuff we did was all in like 2-inch tape or whatever. So
right, yep.
But yeah, we got to put a new song on there, and then we released a volume 2 in 2011, I believe, and we got to put another new song on there.
Right.
Which I don't think we'll have time to play on the show today, but we got to do another new one. It was really cool. And actually recording kind of the continued saga of Wicked Angel, I have a lot of drums recorded. My drummer came, I think, 3 times now from BC and laid down drum tracks that we'll be using for a new CD. And I'm actually recording bass out in BC in August.
So what does that mean?
That means that there'll probably be a new Wicked Angel CD coming out at some point. And what's really neat about it is that reconnecting with Mike Mier as well, which is the original bass player from Wicked Angel, we're going to be doing some stuff as well. So we'll probably have both bass players actually doing some stuff. The original, Dave's the original drummer. Well, actually, there was another original iteration of the band way back. It was actually 4-piece for a very brief period of time. Two brief periods of time. But anyway, Dave was what we consider original drummer, and Mike the bass player, but also Mark the Animal Alford, the long standing bass player associated with Wicked Angel after Mike. So everybody's going to be recording, I think. So we'll have both those guys on the CD, actually. It may be a full length CD with an EP or something. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But anyway, let's listen to this Lipo jamming.
What are we listening to?
Some Black Sabbath.
Okay, this was for a supposedly local Black Sabbath tribute album that bands are from around the city of Windsor were recording to just as a tribute. I think they were raising money for something. And the tune that we did was Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. Is that what it was?
No, it was Fairies Wear Boots.
Well, Fairies Wear Boots. Sorry.
But was and that was recorded with Fricker, right?
Glenn Fricker at Spectre Studios.
And now is he doing all the bands for this particular album or anything, or was it just like you guys did your thing there?
We did our thing there. I think 2 other bands or 3 other bands did their thing there. That's as cool. Well,
I had talked to him, I think, around that time about doing Paranoid for that, but nothing ever transpired of it. Oh, I should play that with my brother, and I have a version of my brother and I doing Paranoid. Maybe we'll slip that in instead of something else I got lined up. But anyway, this is Lipo, you and
King Friday.
This is King Friday doing Fairies Wear Boots.
Thank you.
Cool. Now, I imagine you guys got that tuned down and just did a one-off thing. Did you do it live off the floor? Or did
no.
you multi-track some no.
we,
stuff?
We recorded a bed track, and then Francis went in and played the drums, and then Leo played the bass in the
control you guys did the, a bed track. You did guitars before you even did the drums?
Yep.
That's neat. I kind of like that stuff. That's pretty cool.
Speaking of latency, though, that was my first experience in the studio, and he had digital stuff. There was latency. That really threw me off.
Yeah, there's usually some degree of latency. You can get it down pretty low these days on the computer, but not always 100%. You know what I mean? Down to, you know, low millisecond, but...
But what about going direct? Like, right from your...
Store? Oh, well, you can, especially listening, you know what I mean? There's ways to listen direct and not listen to what is being recorded and, you know, things like that. It's possible to not hear the latency while you're...
I think so, yeah.
I like the latency myself.
Shut the front door.
Door. And now let's listen to... Freaking Zero Freakwear is a clothier, apparel people.
They're apparel people.
Yeah.
So there's just two of them.
Yeah, there is two of them, actually. Frick and Spooky Raven. Hey, guys. So they make some really cool designs and shirts, and they're both excellent artists. Mm-hmm. I've known Frick for a long, long time, and he's gifted. And... This is a song that he actually wrote the lyrics for, and I recorded the music. I sang and played a little guitar on it and whatnot. And it was written about his apparel line, Freakwear.
Really? Yeah, awesome.
And it's called Rebellious by Design.
Yeah.
Okay, there you have Rebellious by Design.
Did they use that in a commercial?
Frick lyrics, huh?
They use that in a commercial?
He did an actual video for it. I don't know if you saw it. It's been floating around a little
bit. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of chicks in it.
Yeah.
Four girls.
Yeah, okay. It's just, I think he put a whole bunch of people wearing the shirts and stuff to the, you know, and some photo shoots and things like that. He made a video of it and posted it.
I think I saw it.
But I think it's had some airplay, too, on some of the metal podcasts or live, what do you call it, internet radio show, metal shows and stuff.
How do you know that?
Because he's sent it around. He knows people.
Okay, sure.
He did it. Not like I didn't really send it around. I let him do everything first anyway with it. Like I gave it to him and he made his video and did some stuff with it.
Sure.
So, cool.
Yeah, very cool.
So we're talking about songwriting on the show today. This is part 3 of 3. I don't know what we're... we'll let the cat out of the bag by the end of the show what we're doing next week. But so let's talk a little bit about recording. We were just talking a little bit about putting composing your music. Recording has gotten a lot easier, a lot more accessible for people these days, for artists, musicians. And I mean, you can record on your phone now. 4-track, 8-track recorders are, I think I've even seen 16-track recorders for your iPhone or whatever. Or Android device.
No, they don't have that on Android.
Of course they don't.
No.
Yeah, well, and you don't want me to diss Android? But yeah, it's gotten a lot easier to record now. So you could actually get like IK Multimedia's guitar rig or something, and you can plug your guitar into your phone and start multitracking. And now they have that, I forget what it's called, that new copy-paste thing where you can actually get drums in, copy-paste from app to app kind of thing.
No,
it's something that's growing in... I don't want to say popularity, but it's growing in whatever it's growing in. Accessible. The more apps now are allowing for this copy paste thing. So it's great for the music apps because you can copy drums from something where you can actually kind of build drum patterns and you can copy them and paste them into another app with like a 4-track recorder.
Is this?
But IK has some of that, and so does. I mean, they got the guitar rig thing. It's like a. Your guitar sounds and stuff and bass and everything, and now they get drums and a recorder in it. And then there's other ones. I have what's it called? 4-track recorder?
Mm-hmm.
From way back.
Way back in the way back days.
I can't remember the name of the Sonoma 4-track recorder. Yeah. Haven't used that for a long time, but it's that easy. And on your computer or laptop, I mean, you know what's the easiest free thing to get is Audacity. It's a multi-track recording program for your computer, and it's free.
The Audacity.
Yeah, the audacity of them doing that when they have to pay thousands of dollars for Pro Tools. And here they have something that's free, but...
Is that... there's just some people who are in charge of it. And then if you wanted to make... It's like open source, right? If you wanted to change it, you could.
Yeah, I think you can... Yeah, you get the source code, so you can do stuff to it if you want.
It works. It looks like it belongs to like a Windows 3.0...
Yeah, I want to say it might look a little bit better than it has. I think that changes, but very little over time. But it's a fully functioning multi-track recorder, and it's pretty cool for you to be able to lay down tracks easy enough. And you can look online for drum loops and backing tracks and things like that if you need them. That's another way to go, too. Maybe find a backing track that you like and... sing to it, like write your lyrics based on that type of thing, and then kind of gives you a demo, not something that you would be able to really do anything but give away or let people listen to. I mean, sure. You can sell it because obviously there's license, but there's also some different sites like Prime Loops and things like that, and Beta Monkey, and some of them have songwriting tools, so they have actually all the music and loops and all that stuff to build songs with, and some are just drum loops. So that you can play your drums and record bass too and sing and write your songs based on these loops and things like that. And there's a lot of companies that have that. If you look up, just look up loops, drum loops, and you get guitar loops, bass loops, keys, everything. Tons. Yeah,
it's all there.
And if you have a Mac, I mean, you're all set with GarageBand. It comes on every Mac, doesn't it?
Comes free on every Mac,
I believe. Yeah, they have loops and music and all kinds of stuff on there that you can just start writing away, man.
The default set of loops is limited.
Yeah, but then they have those packs you can get too, right? Those, what are they called? Jam packs?
Jam packs.
Yeah.
When's the last time they released a jam pack?
I don't think they release them anymore, but they...
So they're done. They've created every pack they
can make. I don't know if you can actually... Yeah, look, well... No, but I don't know if it was a big enough thing to actually start doing, excuse me, you know, like release the metal jam pack and release the jazz jam pack. But yeah, they have the world one, they have a rock one, they have a
percussive one, symphony one.
A few different things, yeah. Something to kind of cover all the bases, sort of, you know, they don't get too genre specific, right?
Right, and they had a vocal one, I remember. So there would be like lines of a song that you'd have to use those lines in your song.
Right, yeah.
All the way. It would give you, and they would go, all the way. It would do that kind of stuff. Like, wow.
That's great. But yeah, it's gotten pretty easy for people to record these days for musicians. And I wish they had all these tools available when we were young. And when I was doing that constantly on a four-track, you know, cassette recorder.
Things would have been easier for sure.
I have so many songs recorded that I actually use two tape decks with, from tape deck to tape deck, and then take those two tracks. And I could, and I had, for some reason, these Marantz and a Sony stereo. And if you just push the button just right, you could play something, like you could record on one side of it and not the other side when you're dubbing, or you could or I think it was that you could plug something into the mic jack on it, record it while it was recording something on the other side. Like, wow. You know what I mean? It was really goofy, but the things we did back then, because you had, it was all makeshift until some point where I could actually afford a four track recorder, like a cassette like Fostex
made. Yeah, them. Fostex, yeah.
They I were a big one. Yeah.
Yeah,
you one. Did. What'd you do with it?
Oh, you're looking at me like I was going to be writing songs or something.
Yeah.
With his eyes got big. Whoa, you had a Fostex.
You had a Fostex recorder, and what did you do with it?
Yeah.
While you had it. I don't mean
it gathered a lot of dust.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have any cassettes from way back then that you had stuff or anything like a...
I bet you I had like four cassettes that I used in some kind of rotation.
Something at the beginning of each one of them. That was about it,
probably. And what was the tape you used? You used like some really good tape, like metal tape or...
Oh, you could. Chromium.
Chromium oxide.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Yeah. Those were the good tapes.
Yep. And you'd get the 60-minute ones, right?
And some of the machines, the that would be better than using the 90 minutes or whatever. I used to be able to get some decent 30-minute tapes. We had a... when I worked at McKay's, and they had an account with somebody that in the city here, I can't remember who it was, but they had like electronic stuff and cassettes and all that kind of stuff. And they used to get stuff from this place. Well, I used to get all my tapes from there. And the shorter tape, the better. And then you could play it at, you could change the speed for recording so that you could get more or less time or better quality. If you went faster or slower, you would get more time, which is, but less quality.
Yeah. But no more quality.
No. The better the quality is speeding the tape up. If sped a 60-minute up and got 30 out of it or whatever. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then eventually things went up from there. And I had, have you ever heard of Aardvark? Aardvark used to make interfaces.
No.
And they were just really bad. It was like the big, what was the big wide?
Parallel
ports and things like that. Yeah. Never really seemed to work as... very good. And I don't even know if I actually recorded anything with the thing I had. And I was just amazed that I had this thing.
That was getting
into the computer thing. But even before that was, I had the Fostex ADAT.
Oh, yeah, an ADAT machine.
So that was on VHS tapes. Super VHS. That's what they recorded on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But VHS tapes. Was there not a proprietary tape, though, that you could buy?
No, that was them. That was it. No, just a higher quality, but VHS, Super VHS was, you know what I mean? The highest quality VHS tapes. You could use those in any, like, record your movies on them. SVHS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they had the what was it? Beta something or other recorders, which was the smaller tapes.
Smaller cassettes,
They had recorders that used those. Rob Ballant had one of those. We used to record stuff way back then with his machine. And let's listen to some more music because we're getting close to ending the show and playing the song that we wrote, Peek Away. And this is King Friday Live, which I actually just saw recently, by the way, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it came out to our gig. Awesome.
Yeah, that was at Johnny Shots here in the city.
Tecumseh, Ontario.
Yeah, okay. Tecumseh, yeah. And it was a busy night. It was pretty cool. And the guy whose birthday... was being celebrated there. Yeah. Was he playing with you for a while? Is he a player too?
No.
Okay.
Never.
I'm mixed up between the Grondin and the Grundy thing somehow.
Oh, Darren Grundy was the bass player that night.
Okay, yeah. 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 Okay. I thought for some reason the other guy had something to do with
it. Nothing to do with it. And this, okay. Speaking of Aardvark, this was a show done at the Aardvark, right. As opposed to the
and actually,
interface.
I'm playing with you, too.
Right.
That was kind of neat. And you know what? I hadn't played in what? Years.
You said 6 months, I think, at the time.
No. 6 years.
6 years? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. No, since I played live? Yeah, because this was, I want to say, 2000, would it be six?
Five.
Yeah?
I want to say it's five.
Yeah, but it was about 6 years before since I had played a live gig, I think. That's what I want to say. It was a long time.
So it.
And I came and played two songs with you guys.
And what was the impetus for you to say, yeah, I'll do that, as opposed to saying, no, I'm not going to be doing no more live stuff? Or you're just pumped? Yeah, I'm going to. Because after that, it seemed like you dove right in after that. Like,
yeah, things started. I think it was a time where things were just like picking back up. I don't know what happened around that time or the time leading up to that. I was recording still.
Sure.
This wasn't playing out.
Right.
I don't know what happened.
Weren't playing out. That's what it was.
But anyway, I
Lana
was jamming
Lager,
here.
Maybe?
No. Had nothing to do with that. No, she's all into that. So the thrill is gone. King Friday. And I played guitar and sang on this.
Yes.
Kind of neat.
Oh, I guess so.
All right, we got a special guest, Mr. Jeff Oppen, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for Jeff Oppen. Great Windsor musician, been around a long time. You might remember him from Wicked Angel, Great Windsor Band. Here he is, everybody, Jeff Oppen. And we're going to do some B.B. King for you, or R.R. Shiloh, huh? You got to play your guitar. This is going to be great. Leo learned this song today in the key of, what key did you learn it in, Leo? Key of C. I checked it out in the key of B. We're going to play it in A. Go figure.
Julie, can you play it?
It's going to be great. Here we go, Mr. Jeff Up, and everybody scream! Make some noise!
What?
Me? I know, I got a big mouth, eh?
You're good.
This is gonna be awesome.
You make me laugh.
Thank you.
Jeff Oppen still got it. He's smoking.
Hold on. Jeff Oppen. Awesome to hear you, Jeff. Maybe we'll do another one a little bit if you stick around. We'll do some jam. Good job, Jeff. Thrill is gone. Now we got
okay, there you have King Friday. Rocks.
Live.
No.com.
KingFridayRocks.com. I own the domain name, but there's nothing there right now.
How come you don't at least have a page up?
There's gigs up or something, you know, or whatever. King Friday Facebook page was started today. Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
By Darren. Darren started it.
Oh, yeah? So that's the kind of thing you're going with now is the Facebook page instead of a web page?
I think so. I really, lately, it's funny you mention that, wonder what the value of a web page is for some people who would have never thought of never having to have a web page. I think for like big corporate brands, you got to have a website. News site, you got to have a website. But for a lot of people, I think a website is, I don't know, depends on what you're doing with it. It has to be dynamic, for sure. If it's not dynamic, then there's no sense.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Facebook is pretty dynamic. You can't, you know, for the most part, all the things that you can do on Facebook, you can't do them on your website, or most people can't, you know what I mean?
Right. You have to keep it fresh, or do, keep it something, whatever. Let people comment on it, or do whatever, yeah. Social. It's all about the social
aspect of it. Yeah, yeah. You don't get that on a website. You know, you get a little bit of that if you do WordPress, but still nothing like what Facebook is. And Facebook is now kind of geared towards artists and companies and everything.
With everything.
Pages. Being able to set up pages, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. We play ukulele, me and you.
Sure. Are we going to do a uke album?
I don't know. Are we?
Yucatonica.
There's a lot we could do. This is a song I wrote. My mom gave me a ukulele. She got it at a yard sale, like now 20, 30 years ago or something like that. Anyway, it was 18 years that I had the ukulele before I ever actually took it out of the case and thought, I'll record a song with this thing. Because I didn't know how to play. I didn't know. Like, I just dragged it around with me everywhere I moved and whatever. I never took it out of the case or anything.
That's funny.
Like that. So anyway, I did, and I pulled it out, went online. So there's a great place. It's a good story, right? Because I did what I'm telling everybody, like, you can go online and find out, like, how to do this, how to do that. So I didn't know, like, really the tuning of the ukulele and what strings went where, you know, all that stuff. So, and some of the cording, right? So I did that, went online, found a whole bunch of stuff, and obviously have some idea of how to put chords together, but I didn't know how to do them on there. And it's quite a bit different. And so I got all that information and wrote a few songs and recorded them. And one I did for my mom because whatever. And sure. One I did actually for Lana. And then I did another song that was just like a bonus thing, something about tea. Because we're toddlers.
Teetotalers.
So yeah, this is one of the songs. It's called The Dream. And you could actually find Uke stuff at bigjd.com/. Uke or the Uke King or something like that. And there's songs and video and everything because I did a couple of videos, right, for the Bushman ukulele video contest thing and everything. But this is called The Dream, and it's some uke from yours truly.
When I rise and fall back asleep, and I slip away into another dream of you, you're all my eyes can see, you're all your hand. You're all I want to touch. You're everything and more. And when we're old and we have gone gray, I'll hold your hand and tell you it's okay. I'm always in your dreams. I'll never let you go.
All right. One more song before we
unleash the
world premiere.
Peek Away.
Peek Away, yeah. Which we're entering the contest, by the way. And let's give out that information one more time, like about the contest, in case anybody else wants to do what we're doing, because we're going to do this. We're going to plop the $35 to the 19th annual USA Songwriting Competition. And you could probably just search that online. I don't see anything about their specific site on here, but I'm at sonicbids.com. And it's a competition, the world's leading international songwriting event. And it's been honoring songwriters, composers, bands, and recording artists everywhere since 1995. And here it is, www.songwriting.net. That's where you can go to the actual site for the USA Songwriting Competition. And we're going to enter that, and we'll keep you posted on what happens with that. We might be superstars.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I think we got some here.
All right.
We'll see what they think about it.
For sure.
And there's $50,000 in cash and merchandise from Sony, Ibanez, Diderio, IK Multimedia, and some other places. So it's pretty cool. Another song from King Friday.
King Friday. This is we went into a studio in Chatham. Mm-hmm. Tony's Music. Tony, awesome purveyor of musical instruments, who passed away a couple years ago. He also had a studio. And
did he play like in everything too, or was he just a
I think he was just a music instrument guy. Yeah,
okay.
I'm sure he could play. I'm sure
it's not anybody I would have known that played around the city or anything like
no
that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure though, but he had a studio out there as well, and mm-hmm. We recorded five or six songs out there just for a demo, and this is one of them. It's called What If from Creed.
Okay, so now is the time that we're going to premiere the song that we wrote the lyrics for in part one of this kind of workshop, we called it.
Extravaganza,
yeah. And part two, we composed the music. And part three was all about us.
Pretty much, yeah.
But yeah, hopefully we've given you a little bit of insight into writing a song and maybe inspired somebody, some people to, you know, write something and compose a song of your own and maybe enter a contest. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Yeah.
But we'll keep you posted on what happens with us.
Yeah.
And this is the song. It's called Peek Away. There you have the world premiere of Peek Away from Big JD and Lippo.
Lucky folks who are going to be listening to that.
Yep. You can say that I knew these guys way back when they were, before they won the big contest, the 50,000. What are you going to do with your 25,000?
No, I think it's $50,000 worth of stuff. Did it say what? First
cash plan? And prizes.
Yeah, I'll take some cash.
I'd take some cash for sure. To say here, include over $50,000 in cash and merchandise.
Okay, yeah. So we don't know what the split is.
We'd have to maybe go to the real website to find that out. So, next week on the show,
we're going to talk about. I think what we decided to do is like, well, every four show, maybe once a month or whatever, 10 times a year, we'll talk about a specific genre of music.
10 times a year, did you say?
10 times a year.
Over the next 5 years. We got a 5-year plan. And we're going to execute that now.
Is that bad?
So in 5 years from now,
we'll have,
we should pick some topics that we'll do for our 5-year anniversary show.
Absolutely. I'm in. Or we can just do a recap.
Ooh, recap. Every 100 shows a recap. So, yeah. So, genre specific. What are we going to do?
Metal.
I'm in.
Do you know anything about metal music?
No.
I don't.
But I'll read up on it. Study a little before next week.
Then we'll be playing all our own stuff again, like you said.
Yeah. No. So the metal show on Big Jitty and Lipo in the Morning next week. Not going to want to miss that. Nobody's going to want to miss that.
No.
I might even be here for that one.
I will be there for sure.
All right. Until then, everybody have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See ya.
We hope you have a great day. And be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lipo in the Morning.